Hello, everybody. Hello, Rabbi Kelman. Gemar chatima tova to everybody. It's a treat to be able to learn together with you on this in on the East Coast Sunday morning, Tzom Gedalia morning. In Israel, this Tzom Gedalia afternoon. So thank you for inviting me.
Okay, my pleasure. Okay, and I want to thank the Moretzkis again. They've been and Aline sponsoring in honor of their parents, Rina and Shim Moretzki and Zelma and Zach Epstein. The Neshama should have Aliyah. We should have many happy occasions. And Rabbi Mintz, we can begin as soon as you're ready, which might is probably now because you
It's
only have
right now. We
40
go.
minutes.
Gemar chatima tova,
We can't take
everybody.
away any time. Rabbi Mintz is the founding rabbi of Kilat Reimovim in Manhattan. That's all we'll say for now. Prominent rabbi, author of the book on Eruvin, the history of Eruvin, which he has spoken about in the past. And Vakashanai now is going to talk about God and Slichot, the role of Slichot on Yom Kippur. God is our Shliach Tzibur.
Thank you so much. As we prepare for Yom Kippur, I want to look at the tefillot, at the davening on Yom Kippur. And basically, everybody has their favorite piece of davening on Yom Kippur. But the two things that repeat themselves, again and again and again and again are the vidui, the confession, and the slichot. Vidui is pretty straightforward. Ashamnu, bagadnu, gazalnu, alcheit, 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 right? We sinned, we sinned, we sinned. That's part of the tshuva process. We have to recognize that we sinned, we have to admit that we sinned, and we have to say that we're not going to do it again. The slichot is a lot less clear. What exactly are those slichot? So first of all, let's just clarify when we say the slichot. Many people begin saying the slichot. Well, the Sfaradim begin on Rosh Chodesh Elul. The Ashkenazim generally begin on the Saturday night before Rosh Hashanah. Then every morning or every evening, slichot are recited between that Saturday night and Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, the tradition of most Ashkenazi shuls is now that we recite slichot in Kol Nidre, in the Maariv after Kol Nidre, and then again in the Ila. But just to make it a little more exciting, I will tell you that it used to be the custom that they used to say slichot in every single one of the tefillot. There were slichot in Shacharis, and there were slichot in Musaf, and there were slichot in Mincha. Over time, those slichot fell away. Probably those slichot fell away for a combination of two reasons. Reason number one is that because there were different customs of slichot, the slichot were published in separate books. And what happened was they only, after a while, you just took one book, from the table as you entered shul rather than two books. And so they kind of forgot about the slichot. The other reason, which is equally important, if not more important, is the fact that it seems to be that they ran out of time. They literally didn't have enough time to say the slichot, so the slichot fell away. In some shuls, especially in Israel, they have reinserted the slichot in each of the tefillot on Yom Kippur. So slichot are a critical piece of Yom Kippur. Let's study together the slichot that I'll share on my screen. So we have here the Yom Kippur Machzor. This is the introductory paragraph to the slichot. El Melech Yoshev al Kisei Rachamim. God, who sits on the throne of mercy, mitnaheg b'chasidut, who behaves in a way of righteousness, mochel avonot amo, he forgives the people, mavir rishon rishon, he forgives our sins one by one, marbe mechila l'chataim uslicha l'poshim, he is someone who it forgives in abundance. Osetz tzedakotim kol basar v'ruach, he does righteousness with every creature. Lo charatam tigmo, he doesn't punish us as we deserve. El horeta lanu lomar shlosh esrei, you, God, instructed us to recite these 13. Uzachar lanu hayom brit shlosh esrei, and remember today the covenant of the 13. Kamosho Dato the Anav Mikedem, like you told the Anav Moshe in the days of old. Kamosha Katub, as it says, Vayered Hashem Ba'anan Vayityatzev Mosham, that God came down in a cloud and he stood together with Moshe. Vayikra b'shem Hashem, and he called out in the name of God. That is the introductory paragraph to the Slichot. Then we say, the Hashem Hashem kel rachum v'chan. What is that paragraph about? So what I want to do this morning with everybody is, I'd like to spend a little while looking at the source in the Torah for these Slichot, for this Brit Shlosh Esrei, that this paragraph El Melech is referring to. And the source in the Torah, the 33rd chapter of the book of Shemot, is the story after the sin of the golden calf. We know the story. The Jews get the Ten Commandments, and then Moses goes up for 40 days, and they get confused about when he's going to come down. They worship a golden calf, and Moses comes down, and he breaks the tablets. And God gets angry, and they burn the golden calf, and people are killed in a plague. And then God says to Moshe, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe, Lech alei mizeh, get out of here, right? Leave Mount Sinai. Ata veha'am asher ha'alita me'eretz Mitzrayim. You and the nation that you took out of Egypt. Look at that. God blames the Jewish people on Moshe. They're your people. You took them out of Egypt. El haaretz asher nishbati l'Avraham l'Yitzchak u'l'Yaakov l'mor l'zarecha etnena. I don't want to have anything to do with the people anymore. It's your people. You take them to the land. V'shalachti l'fanecha malach. And I will send an angel. V'geirashti et ha'kanani ho'em moriv ha'chiti v'aprizi v'ha'chachivi v'ha'yibusi. I'm not going to go with you. I'm going to just send an angel. El eretz avat chalav u'dvash. Ki lo e'ele b'kir b'cha. Because I, God, am not going to go together with you. Ki am kishay oref ata. Because you are a stiff-necked people. Pen achelcha badorech. I'm not going with you actually, you know, to protect you because I'm going to get angry. You're stiff-necked. I'm going to get angry and I'm going to destroy you. That's what happens. And then further on in the bold, Moshe says to God, so God says, I'm not going to go with you. And Moshe starts negotiating with God. The Ata, Moshe says, Imna matzati chen beinecha. If I find favor in your eyes, hodieni na et derachecha. Show me your ways. Ve'edacha, and then I will know you. Leman emtzachen beinecha. So I will be able to find favor in your eyes. Ure'ei ki amcha hagoy hazeh. And then you will see that it's not my nation, it's your nation. So Moshe tries to make a deal with God. It says, God, I want to understand what makes you work. So to speak, what makes you tick. Because if I know what makes God tick, says Moshe, I'll be able to find favor in God's eyes. And if I can find favor in God's eyes, then I will be able to convince you, God, that it's your people and you'll go with the people. So what does God answer? Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, God says to Moshe, Gamas adavar hazeh asher dibarta e'eseh. That which you ask that I should show you, hodieni na et derachecha, that I will show you my ways, I'm going to do that. Ki matzata chein beinai ve'edacha b'shem. Because you found favor in my eyes, and I will know you, I will let you know my name. A name is a personality. Now God goes on. This is very interesting. The psukim start with Vayomer, but it's not a back and forth. This is all God talking. Oh, sorry. Vayomer, sorry. Hareini na, I jumped. This is Moshe still. Vayomer, hareini na et kvodecha. So Moshe says, show me your glory. Vayomer, Ani avir kol tuvi al panecha. I will pass by. My glory will pass by your face. V'karati v'shem Hashem lefanecha. I will call the name of God in front of you. V'chanuti et asher achon v'richamti et asher arachem. And I will show compassion on those who deserve my compassion. And now God goes on. Vayomer. Lo tuchal lirot et panai. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to pass by you and you'll see me. But you're not actually going to see me. Because no one, not even you, Moshe, is allowed to see my face. Kilo yirani ha'adam v'chai. Because no one is allowed to see God's face and live. Vayomer Hashem, and God, this is the third Vayomer, that's God without Moshe speaking. God is speechless. Vayomer Hashem, hinei makom iti v'nitzav tal hatzur. I want you to stand on the rock. V'hayav avor kivodi, when my holiness, when my glory passes by you. V'samticha b'nikrat hatzur. I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. V'sakoti kapi alecha al ad avri. And I'm going to place my hands upon you until I pass. You know, like the women cover their eyes during lichbenshin? So that's what God's going to do to Moshe Rabbeinu. He's going to cover Moshe's face so that Moshe doesn't see God's face. V'hasiroti et kapi. Then I'm going to remove my hands. V'ra'ita et achorai. You will see my back, ufanai lo yero, but you will not be able to see my face. That's a remarkable image, right? Moshe Rabbeinu is getting a glimpse of God. We say in Anam Zemiros, kesher tefillin hera le'anav, that God showed only his kesher tefillin, the knot on the back of his tefillin shel rosh, to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what it says. V'ra'ita et achorai ufanai lo yero. Even Moshe Rabbeinu just got a glimpse of what God looked like. Now, this is the English, if you want to look at the English. Now, the Torah has a little bit of a parenthesis here, where God tells Moshe to carve a new set of tablets. But here we have a fulfillment of that idea of God showing Moshe who God is. Vayered, I'm going to read this slowly because this is important. Vayered Hashem be'anan, God comes down in a cloud. Vayityatzev imosham, and he stands there with Moshe. Vayikra b'shem Hashem, and God calls in the name of God, meaning that he says, I'm God, I'm here. Vayavar Hashem al panav. Remember, God said, I'm going to pass by you, Moshe, and you're just going to see my back. So Vayavar Hashem al panav, God passes by Moshe. Vayikra, and as he's passing by Moshe, he says the following. Hashem Hashem kel rachum v'chanun. God who is a God of mercy. Erech apayim v'rab chesed v'emet. More mercy and more mercy. Notzer chesed lo alafim. He gives, he shows mercy to thousands of years, thousands of generations. Nosei avon. He carries our sins. V'fesha v'chata'ah. V'nake lo yinake. But then at the end he says he doesn't, the sins are not completely wiped out. The sin is actually passed on to children and grandchildren for three and four generations. So here it is. God fulfills what God said. God showed Moshe God. And he told him that I'm a God of compassion. And Moshe bows down. Moshe says, okay, you showed me who you are. Now I want you to do the next thing. Don't send an angel. I want you to go with us. Ki am kisheo refu. We need you, God. God used ki am kisheo refu as an excuse why God wasn't going to go with the people, that I'm going to destroy the people. Moshe says, no, well, we would say, pum fakert. Ki am kisheo refu. Since the people are a stiff-necked people, you need to go with us. V'solachto lavoneinu l'chatoteinu u'nechaltanu, and to forgive our sins. And then God says, "Vayomer hinei anochi koreit brit neged kol amcha eseni flot asher lo nivru b'chol aretz v'chol agoyim v'rak olam asher atah b'kirbo et maaseh Hashem ki norahu asher ani osei imach." Basically, God says, I make a covenant, and I promise that I will go with you. So here you go. On Slichot, every, we again and again, we say this Kel Melech. We say, God, you told us to recite these 13 attributes. What are these 13 attributes? It seems from the Chumash as if these 13 attributes, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum, Rachanim, are God's description of God's self to Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, Moshe says to God, Hareini na et kvodecha, show me your glory. God says, I will pass by you and show you my glory, but you're not going to be able to see me. You'll just be able to see my back. And then God goes down, Vayered Hashem be'anan, Vayityatzei b'Moshe, Vayikra b'Shem Hashem, Vayavar Hashem al panav, Vayikra. God passes by and he says, Hashem Hashem korachu b'chai. So the question is, but it seems to work because then God decides to go with the people again, not to send an angel. The question is, how does it work? What does that mean that God passed by Moshe and showed him these 13 attributes of God? And why is it that those 13 attributes are what we recite again and again and again on Yom Kippur? And I think here there are two possible explanations. Explanation number one, which I think is maybe Rabbi Kelman, I always have to say this when I teach here. Rabbi Kelman and I went to yeshiva together. So when we went to yeshiva, I think what we learned in those days was that the reason we recite Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum Mechanim so many times is because what God is telling Moshe is that you need to be like me, right? God is full of compassion. If you want me to forgive you, then you need to be like me. And I think that that is expressed in the following Gemara, which actually is an amazing Gemara. The Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Vayavar Hashem al panav vayikra. The pasuk said that God passed by Moshe, panav, Moshe's face, and he called to Moshe. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, who lived in the 4th century in Israel, says the following. Il male mikra katuvi efshar omro. If the Torah hadn't said this, I wouldn't be able to say it myself. Milamed, the pasuk tells us, Shenitateif Hakadosh Baruch Hu Kishliach Tzibur, that God wrapped himself up like a chazi. Now, first of all, that reading of the pasuk is different than the simple reading, than the pshat of the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vayavar Hashem al panav," that God passed by the face of Moshe, panav, the face of Moshe, and he called. Rabbi Yochanan has a different read. "Vayavar Hashem al panav," God passed in front of his own face. What did God pass in front of his own face? God passed the talis in front of God's own face. So already we have a rabbinic read that turns the whole thing around. The her alo limoshe seder tfila. And he showed Moshe this which we need to recite. Amar lo, he said to Moshe. Kozman she Yisrael chotim, whatever the Jews said. Yasu lefanai kaseder hazev ani mochel lahem. They should do this. Hashem Hashem kel rachu b'chanan vani mochel lahem. It doesn't say yomar seder zeh, but yasu lefanai kaseder hazev. Now, first of all, let's take a second. That's a remarkable read of these psukim, right? That's a remarkable read. Vayered Hashem ba'anan vayityatzei b'mosham vayikra b'shem Hashem. God comes down and he calls in the name of God. Vayavor Hashem al panav, God passes by Moshe and he says. But here, God's not passing by Moshe. God is actually wrapping himself, God's self, in a talis and calling to Moshe like a shliach tzibur, not just to Moshe, but to all the Jewish people. God is the chazan. What's the role of the chazan? The chazan teaches us what we need to do, right? The chazan leads us. So here, God's self is leading us and saying, if you sin, do these 13 midot, do these 13 attributes of God, and I will forgive you. So what does that mean? So the Gemara in Sota, this amazing Gemara in Sota. The Gemara says, "Ela lahalech achar midotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu." Our job is to follow God's ways. In Latin, there's a fancy term for it. It's called imitatio Dei, to imitate God. Mahu malbish arumin, just like God clothes the naked. Dichtiv vayas Hashem Elokim la'adam ulishto kot not or vayal bishem. God made clothing for Adam and Eve. You too need to make clothing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu biker cholim. God visits the sick. Dichtiv vayira lav Hashem beilonei mamre. Afata baker cholim. You also have to visit the sick. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nichem aveilim. God comforts the mourners. Dichtiv vayachrei mot Avraham vayivarech Elohim et Yitzchak beno. Afata nachem aveilim. God went to pay a shiva call to Yitzchak. So you too have to pay shiva calls. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kavar mesim, dechsev ayikbar oso bagai, afatok for mesim. God buries people, so you have to bury people too. So the simple explanation here seems to be, the more obvious explanation, is that God wraps God's self in a talis and leads the people and says, if you want God to forgive you, what you need to do is you need to imitate God. You need to clothe those that have no clothing. You need to pay a shiva call. You need to be nice to the stranger. You need to be nice to the widow. You need to be nice to the orphan. You need to do all of these things. Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum b'chanun. We recall God's amidos, God's character traits, because that's what we are supposed to do. That's one explanation. That's probably the simplest explanation, or maybe I would say, I don't know if it's simplest, but it's most popular explanation. But I'd like to suggest another possibility. That other possibility is that actually God wraps himself in a talis. Vayavar Hashem al panav vayikra. He wraps himself in a talis and he calls to all of us. And what does he say when he calls to all of us? He says, Hashem Hashem kel rachum v'chan. God is a God of mercy. Now let's look at that kind of interaction. From the perspective of the story that we read. We read the story of what happened after the sin of the golden calf. God wants to destroy the people. He just kills a certain amount of people. But he says, I'm not going to go with the people anymore. First, he says to Moshe, it's your people. You took them out of Egypt. You get out of here, right? That's number one. Then he says, Vishalachti malach lefanecha. I'm not going to go myself. I'm going to send an angel. And he gives, this is the most important point of all. God gives an explanation why he's sending an angel. He's saying, because you're a difficult people. And if I go myself, I might destroy you because my anger at you, because you're not following God, that's going to lead me to destroy you. That's the most important line of all. Moshe's not satisfied with that. And Moshe says, show me your way. And God passes by. And God shows him his way. And then what does Moshe say? Moshe says, we need you to go with us, ki am kishe oreh. God says, I'm not going to go with you, ki am kishe oreh. I'm not going to go with you because you're a stiff-necked people, because you're stubborn, because you don't listen to me. And then maybe I'm going to destroy you. And then Moshe says, no, you need to go with us specifically because we're a stiff-necked people. What's that all about? And what is this God wrapping himself in a talis? What does that tell you about that relationship? So I'd like to suggest another reading of this Gemara. Melamed shenisatev HaKadosh Baruch Hu kishliach tzibur. That God wrapped himself like a shliach tzibur. And he says that whenever you sin, yasu kaseder hazeh, do like this, say these yud gimel midos. What does that mean? What that means is like this. What that means is that God says to the people, you want me to go with you. Moshe, you want me, God, to lead you. I'm afraid, literally, I'm afraid to lead you because I'm going to destroy you. You're stubborn and I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to get angry and I'm going to destroy you. But God wraps God's self in a Sefer Torah. It's sorry, in a talis. And he wraps in a Sefer Torah is another story. God wraps himself in a Sefer Torah and he says to the people, I'm going to give you a secret. This is a secret that only I can give you. That's why the Gemara reads that differently. God actually wraps himself in a Sefer Torah and teaches a lesson to the people, a lesson that only God can teach. And that is when you sin and I'm going to destroy you because you sin, I want you to do this. Yasu kaseder hazeh. I want you people to recite Hashem Hashem kel rachum b'chanun. Why do I want you to recite Hashem Hashem kel rachum b'chanun? I want you to recite it because I want you Jewish people to remind me. When you sin, I'm angry. And when I'm angry, I'm going to destroy you. But you want me to go with you. So when you sin, you need to remind me, God, that I am Hashem Hashem kel rachum b'chanun erech apayim v'rav chesed v'emet, that I am a God of mercy. In my moment of anger, when you sin, in my moment when I want to destroy you, that's the moment that you need to say Hashem Hashem kel rachum b'chanun. That's the moment you need to remind me that I'm a God of mercy. And because I'm a God of mercy, therefore I'm not going to destroy you. You see that? That's the opposite read. The first read says that God wrapped himself with a talis and said, do this, do tshuva, be like me. Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum v'chanun. And now it's not be like me. But now you Jews have the ability to control me. It's all about me. It's about God. The first reading has it all about people. If they do good, then God will forgive them. The second read says, no, it's not about us. It's about God. God needs to be controlled because God's going to punish us. And therefore, God needs to be controlled. And we need to say Hashem Hashem kel rachum v'chanun to remind God not to be angry. To remind God that God is a God of mercy and God should not destroy us. Now, if that read sounds a little heretical, I want to share with you an amazing Gemara. We said in the Rosh Hashanah davening, and we're going to say again in the Yom Kippur davening. Actually, we're going to read it tonight, this afternoon in the, right here. We're going to read it this afternoon in the Haftorah. The pasuk says, "Vahaviosim el harkodshi v'simachtim beveis tfilasi." God says, "I'll bring you to my vahaviosim el harkodshi. I'll bring you to my holy mountain, v'simachtim, and you will be happy beveit tfilati, in the house of my prayer." The Gemara at the beginning of Maseches Brachos asks, what do you mean, my prayer? What does it mean? It should say, v'simachtim beveis tefillah, in the house of prayer. You Jews pray. No, v'simachtim beveis tefillah, see, the Gemara says in Brachos Tav Zayin that God prays. And the Gemara has a few suggestions about what the prayer of God is. Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia. Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia says the following. Amar Rav in the name of Rav. This is the prayer that God recites. Yehi Ratzon Milfanai, may it be my will. Sheyichbishu Rachamai Et Kaasi, that my mercy shall conquer my anger. V'yigolu rachamai al midotai, and that my mercy will take over al midotai, on all of the anger that I could express against you. Ve'et naheg im banai b'midat rachamin, and I should behave, conduct myself with my children with the attribute of mercy. Ve'ekanes lahem lifnim mishurat hadin, and I will work with them beyond the letter of the law. Lifnim mishuras hadin. What an amazing Gemara. That Gemara says that God prays every day that his anger shouldn't get the best of him. That he should, his Rachamim, his kindness should overcome his sense of anger. His rage at the people because they don't keep the mitzvos should be conquered by the sense of Rachamim. And that God will be willing to work with us, lifnei mishuras hadin, even though we don't deserve it. Lifnei mishuras hadin means we don't deserve it, but God's going to be kind to us anyway. That's what God says. And on Yom Kippur, what God says is, not only am I going to pray that I should be this way, that my mercy should overcome my anger, but I want you to help me out. That's the special relationship of Yom Kippur. Only on Yom Kippur. I mean, we do it the week before Yom Kippur, but it's related to Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, we have a special relationship with God. We're close to God. And therefore, we help God in his own tefillah. It's a remarkable idea. God's tefillah is that his rachamim should conquer his anger. And on Yom Kippur, God says to us, I want you to help me. I want you to remind me of that. Again and again and again and again. And that's why we say the Yud Gimel Midos, to remind God to be compassionate with us. And that explains a very important piece of the Yom Kippur Davening, that second read. You know, what we do on Yom Kippur is that we recite the Vidui 11 times. Once at Mincha before Yom Kippur. Then in the five tefillos of Yom Kippur, Maariv, Shacharis, Musaf, Mincha, Ne'ilah, we say it twice, once in the silent Shemone Esrei and once in the repetition of Shemone Esrei. 11 times we say the Vidui. It's interesting that in Ne'ilah, the Vidui generally contains two pieces. One is the Ashamnu Bagadnu, the short Vidui. And the second is the long Vidui, the Alchet, in which we enumerate our sins. Interestingly, in the Ne'ilah, we don't say Al-Chait anymore. We say Ashamnu, but we don't say Al-Chait anymore. And Rabbi Soloveitchik used to always explain that, you know, the day of Yom Kippur in many ways is about human beings, our power to do tshuva, the power of the Kohen Gadol to demand from God that God forgives the Jewish people. It's our power. But when you get to Ne'ilah, when you get to the end, the Rav always used to say, we basically throw ourselves at the mercy of the court. We don't bother saying the Al-Chait anymore. If it hasn't worked for 9 times, it's not going to work the 10th and the 11th time. We don't bother with the Al-Chait. We say Ashamnu because that's part of Yom Kippur, is we say Ashamnu. There's a mitzvah vidui. We say Ashamnu in every tefillah. But the long vidui, the personal vidui, we don't bother with anymore. Because, listen,
We did as good as we could do. Now we're throwing ourselves on the mercy of the court. We can't do any better than this. And that's why the Rav said, that's why the Yud Gimel Midos become the centerpiece of the Ne'ilah. We recite the Yud Gimel Midos. You know how we recite the Yud Gimel Midos in Ne'ilah? We say a little paragraph, then we say the Yud Gimel Midos. We say another little paragraph, we say the Yud Gimel Midos. It seems a little repetitive, right? Again, the small paragraph, the Yud Gimel Midos. What do we say the Yud Gimel Midos so many times for? Now we understand it. We understand that these Yud Gimel Midos, when we're done, when we can't say vidui anymore, when we're not able, when we can't fool ourselves to think that our tshuva is going to be adequate, that we really are going to be so much better this year, there's only one thing we can count on. You know what we can count on? We can count on the fact that God is going to allow his rachamim to overcome his kas. That God is going to allow his mercy to overcome his anger. That's all we can count on. And that he will deal with us lifnim mishuras hadin, beyond what we deserve. And therefore, we recite the Yud Gimel Midos again and again and again, because that's our chance to remind God that God, there's nothing we can do. It's all about you. It's all about you deciding that even though we don't deserve it, you still are going to be Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum V'chanu. Let me leave a couple of minutes for questions, if there are.
Didn't we have also in the last paragraph of the Haftorah was also pointing toward the 13 Midot?
Oh, the Haftorah from yesterday. That's correct. Very good. The Psukim, so I have a minute, I can talk about that. The Psukim from Micha, if you probably, when you went to Tashlich on Thursday, you recited those same Psukim, those Psukim from Micha, right? It said, Yichbosh Avonotenu, V'Tashlich B'Mitzulot Yam, Kol Chatotam. Says we should squash our sins, or we ask God to squash our sins, and we throw our sins to the river. That's a very interesting idea, just by the way, about what happens to our sins. So we need God to forgive us, God to be a Baal Rachamim, to God to allow his Rachamim to overcome the kas. What happens to the sins? Why do we bother? You know, if we do tshuva, the sins disappear. Why do we need to go to the river on the first day of Rosh Hashanah and throw our sins into the river? So exactly what you said, that's the pasuk from Micha. The pasuk from Micha says that God is a noseyavot. Sins don't disappear. What God says is he takes our sins and he'll carry our sins for us. But we kind of want to help that out. I don't want my sins kind of floating in the air. That scares me to have my sins floating in the air, even on God's back. And therefore, we throw our sins into the river. We try to get rid of our sins. We put our sins on the chickens in Kaparis. We put our sins on the 18 cents that we take in Kaparis morning. And that's what the Sari Lazozil is, of course. We try to get rid of our sins. So that point is right. I mean, that point is not so much about God being compassionate. That's how we also try to help the system by being, by trying to get rid of our sins. Very good. Any other questions?
I have a question.
Yes.
You talked about we don't deserve it. Is that individually, collectively? And is there a nation out there that does deserve it? In other words, is this an attainable goal for individuals or nation? Or is this something so far away then it becomes useless? It's like if everything is good, nothing is good. If everything
good,
is bad, nothing
is bad. That's a good question. So the Gemara says that the tzadikim gemurim are nechtavim v'nechtamim la'alto l'chaim tovim. Right? It means there is a group that is sealed immediately on the first night of Rosh Hashanah. That's amazing, right? What's the only problem? Since our kvittel didn't come down and tell us that we are part of that group, we have no choice but to imagine that we're not part of that group, and therefore we need Yom Kippur and we need to do tshuva this week. But Ben, that's your point. Your point is yes, there is a group that does tshuva. There is a group that is forgiven, for sure. Our problem is we can't be sure that we're part of that group. So we need to operate on Yom Kippur as if we are not part of that group. But that's a very good point. That group is there, but we don't know if we're part of that group.
Okay, I'll give you 30 seconds. There was a comment in the chat box that God prays for self-control. You know, that his midah of mercy should overcome his anger. If you want to, for 30 seconds, address that. That's so unfair.
What, that God prays for self-control?
Yeah, in other words, I guess it's saying, right, it's an amazing Gemara. That is an unbelievable.
It's an amazing Gemara. Right. That's why I set it up. You can't imagine, right, Rabbi Kelman? Right. You can't imagine that Gemara. Without that Gemara, what I said is heresy. That right. God prays for self-control, right? But the fact that God prays for self-control is heresy. But right. The Gemara says it. And not only that, it's not only the idea, but God's self is praying for self-control. That's a remarkable idea. If we take only that for Yom Kippur, that's an amazing thing to take for Yom Kippur. Gemara Sima Tova to everybody. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Rabbi Adam. Okay. Gemara Sima Tova.